Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is the first day of June 2026. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us, and I do mean that, because tonight we're going to bring a guest up. It's going to help me probably a lot better job than I can do by myself, explain probably one of the biggest deceptions it's ever fell upon the church around the world, but especially here in America. And I was involved in that. I actually taught the deception innocently, not knowing it was wrong. We're going to discuss something tonight that's very important. Before I do that, though, don't forget to note you can contact our office between 9 and 4 every day. If you don't have long distance, you can call our toll-free number at 800-777-4403, 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, you'll save us some money if you go to our toll number at 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. If you want to call and ask any questions about what's going on here, order some of our products, buy me a toothpaste, mouthwash, whatever it may be. We have it. You call and talk to Faith. If she misses you, she'll call you back. And just whatever you want to, whatever we can do to help you, please let us know. If you want to speak to me personally, I promise you, they'll find me wherever I am. And I do stay fairly busy. They'll find me and I will call you back. Now, I promise you that. If you need to talk about anything, please feel free to call me. And I want to thank you folks for the donations you helped us with over the last couple months. We are caught up right now currently on all the expenses we have. We are okay for the month of June, and thank you so much. I don't mean please don't quit helping, because next month is coming up also. We always pay a month in advance. I will not go on the air if I don't pay the bill. I just won't do it. That's not a Christian thing to do. So thank you for keeping us catch up, and thanks for helping us stay caught up. And I sincerely, sincerely mean that. Thank you. Now, our guest tonight is Pastor David Myers. We're going to discuss an issue tonight that has taken the American church a lot of it. I don't care what's a Baptist or a Pentecost or whatever it is. This doctrine that was started by Jesuit priests, picked up by Darby, then put in the Bible, Scofield Bible, by C.I. Scofield, who was a scoundrel and an absolute wicked individual, started this facade, and millions of Christians have fell into it, including me and my dad. I didn't know. And now you don't want to tell y'all, I'm going to tell y'all something. I did not get in a whole lot of trouble with the churches I worked in until I started reading the Bible on my own and see if what I was being taught would add up to what the Bible says. And I found out it didn't. It was a shock to me. It bothered me. It took me a long time to get over it. And I'm still not totally over it. I'm still learning things about this from the deception I was taught on so many different issues. We're going to discuss dispensationalism, a very, well-thought-out deception by wicked men who wanted to deter the church from their main thrust, according to Matthew 28, to go out and disciple, that means teach the nations, whatsoever the Lord's commanded us. And this dispensationalism has divided the scriptures up in so many different, seven different areas, it has neutered the church. It has made the church of none effect as a whole. Now, that's a fact. You don't have to like it. The churches may preach, they may evangelize. That's all well and good. But they're not discipling and teaching the Bible way it should be taught. And David Myers, are you there?
I am. Thank you, brother, for having me on with you tonight.
You're more than welcome, my friend. It was very nice meeting you on the phone the other day, and I'm so thankful that your friend and my friend Charles Jennings put us together, because I respect Charles. I really do. I really respect what he's tried to do, what he has done.
Yes, sir.
He told me about you, and I understand that you come maybe from the same area I did. Before we get started, though, on what we're going to talk about, tell the folks who David Myers is and what he has done and does.
Well, David Myers has been serving the Lord close to 40 years now. I was raised in a holiness home, went out into the world, and rejected God till I was about 27 years old. At that time, the Lord, through some different means, brought me back into his kingdom and saved me and sanctified me and filled me with his Spirit. And from that point on, I've been with several organizations. As you said, at that time, all we knew was what we call the futurist or the dispensational theory. And just for your readers maybe hearers that don't know maybe what we're talking about tonight, that's basically the doctrine that we're waiting on a rapture. And a rapture is going to come and take the church out for either 3.5 or 7 year period, depending on your understanding. And that we're looking for this one-man Antichrist to show up on the scene somewhere with the Jews and for a rebuilt temple. And all this tribulation is going to be going on, all these bad things on the earth. And then God's going to deal with a separate, actually what they're teaching is a separate grace dispensation, that he's going to deal with these Jews, these Edomite Jews, Edomite Khazar Jews that's in Palestine today. And then the Lord will come again. Actually, what they're teaching is a two-stage coming. And then usher in the millennial reign. That's the general overview of what I was taught and all that we knew growing up. We were not aware that there was any other view on end times.
No, we weren't. And so we weren't.
I preached that myself for close to 20 years. I always had a lot of questions. I never could get any answers from most of the ministers and the bishops and so forth in the church. And it was through God's mercy and grace that about 13, 14 years ago, through Brother Jennings, I was introduced to understanding there was other views, one called the historical view, is which what our forefathers up to approximately 1860 believed, which is for your hearers out there, basically what we believe is that the book of Revelation is an unfolding, ongoing revealing of the church age from the time of the Apostle John until the resurrection and the second coming of Christ, period. We don't look for a rapture. We look for a resurrection of the dead and of the live being caught up, and we look for a coming of Christ to establish his kingdom on this earth. And that is what the Bible teaches. All this other stuff, as you said, has been laid upon us through layers of false doctrine and false teaching. Until today, really, dispensationalism has so many views, it would be impossible for me and you to even discuss briefly all the different views that they have on that. So, as I said, the Lord brought me into the understanding that there was other views, and that there was a doctrinal truth of the second coming of Christ. And praise God, we've been walking in that, living in it. And I tell people, you know, I'm looking for what the first century Christians looked for when they were being persecuted. I'm looking for the resurrection and the coming of Christ. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for an antichrist. We'll maybe talk later about the succession of popes, what our early forefathers believed, who the real antichrist and position is. And the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're in tribulation today. If you live right for Jesus and you're not under some form of tribulation from family, friends, co-workers, or a neighbor, then you're probably not living much of a standard for Christ to begin with. So we're definitely already living in a time of tribulation, and it's going to get worse. If you think not, go to a major city today and stand on the street's corner and open your mouth about the gross sins and immorality of same-sex marriage and transgenderism and all these crimes that's going on today in our society, and you'll find out how much freedom of religion you really have in this country.
Amen. Amen. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll just say, you know, so we're living in that time today of, like I said, Christians, true Christians are going to see, before Christ comes, he said, would he find faith on the earth? And I believe he will, but the true Christian is going to be under the persecution of that wicked one that wants to destroy Christ, his church, and his people.
Well, there's no doubt about it. If you live in righteousness today, and you're not, I guess you say, making enemies, and a lot of them in the church, you're not walking in Christ. I mean, I've been asked to leave churches as a pastor. I've been asked to leave, and I never get called to preach in a regular church anymore. That's just the way it is. I accept it, brother, because I have no choice. I've got to preach the Bible. And, you know, and one of the main things I have seen, and there's several different points on dispensationalism. I think one of the most damning things I've seen outside the rapture has been a damning force to news the church, make the church really not care a whole lot about teaching salvation. And even if they do teach salvation, they do not disciple the churches and the word of God. They don't teach them the laws of God. And all of a sudden, because we're living in what they call the dispensation of grace, sin no longer matters. I mean, you can come to our church and join if you live together as unmarried or two men married, married. I mean, you can come any way you want to. And that's what the church have taught. But we've become an antinomian, I hate to use the word church, antinomian fellowship, which means without law. And without the word of God, without the law of God, you have no foundation to build on. So the dispensation teaches that the law was in the Old Testament, the New Testament saw grace. And I've had people, it was a Pentecostal lady, he said, that's Old Testament. That don't mean anything today. And that was when I first started getting involved in ministry. And I thought, that shocked me. How can anybody say that? I mean, what did Christ preach out of? Did Peter, did Paul, did Christ preach out anything besides the Old Testament? That's all they had. That's all they had. And because of this dispensation of teaching, we live under grace. And so the law has been basically done away with. It's been nailed to the cross, they say. Now, my question is, David, if there is no law, there is no sin. If there is no sin, why did Christ die?
Hello?
That makes sense?
I lost him. Hello?
Are you still there? I don't hear you, David. Are you still there?
Hello? Hello?
There you are. Are you still there? Okay.
There you are. Yeah.
Couldn't hear you.
We've got lost there for a minute. Don't know what happened.
Did.
But anyway,
like I said, though, if there is no law, we're living in grace.
Right.
And if there's no law, there's no sin. Why do we need grace?
Yeah, they people don't like law because it's against the fleshly nature to want to have to live under any kind of law and restriction. And you know, God, the law being a schoolmaster, was showing us that His people, God's people, has to be bent to God's law and His will, which means we have to bend our flesh through sanctification to the law of God. And by bending our will to God's law, that's what brings grace to us. then God can apply his grace to us when we live under the law. Grace is not anything new. Israel lived under grace when they obeyed the law of God.
Well, didn't Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord?
He sure did. So grace is not something that just showed up in the second person of the Trinity, as they teach. I would like to touch on that for a minute, if I can, when we're talking dispensationalism. There's so many ways we can go, but this is a point I feel very strongly about, because this dispensational teachings that have just overtaken most of the church, I like people to understand that the seedbed for this, I believe, was planted approximately 1,600, 1,700 years earlier. Uh-huh. And that is the misunderstanding of the triune nature of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost manifested in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that's going to get a lot of your hearers probably jumping on the end of their couch. Oh, goodness, he's a heretic. But they need to listen. If they'll take a few minutes and listen to what I have to say, if nothing else, I believe I can run them to their history books, run them to their Bibles, and they might find out that what I'm saying is true. You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians 2 and 9, for him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Didn't say part of it, didn't say a third of it, didn't say 50%. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God.
Amen.
He walked the earth. He thought it not robbery to be equal, to make himself equal with God, because he was Emmanuel with us, Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible also says in Colossians that he is the expressed, or the image of, who is the image of bodily, the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is the express image of God. God is a spirit, must be worshipped in spirit and truth, and no man has seen God. No man's looked upon the deity of our Creator. He's so great, no man has the ability to look upon him. Yet we're able to look at his express image through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about Trinitarian doctrine, which basically is the doctrine that there's a Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that there's three persons, but one in thought, one in spirit, or one in manifestation as far as their desire to do things. Well, that's untrue from a Trinitarian standpoint, because today they teach that, as you said, we have a God of the Old Testament. He was a God of the law. And then you have
By the way, he was a vengeful, hateful God too, wasn't he?
Oh, he was judgmental. He was actually, from today's society, God would be racist. He would be
absolutely
a bigot. He would be a murderer. You could just go on and on. And then they teach, well, now we have the second person. This is a form of dispensationalism, because it's breaking God up into different spheres of time. And so now we have this second person. This is Jesus, and he comes along. He's the God of love, the God of mercy, and the God of grace. And then, of course, we have the third person being the Holy Ghost, and you don't get a whole lot of explanation on that, but he's there, even though nobody knows exactly where he'll be sitting on the throne. I've never been able to get anyone to give me an answer. Where does he sit on the throne, or how many thrones do we see in the book of Revelation? We see one throne, one Lord. But this Trinitarian doctrine that teaches us, this is what gives a lot of basis to the dispensationalist theory that, you know, the church is raptured away. She's the bride of Christ. And then God, who was married to Israel, the first person of the Trinity, he's going to have a special dispensation to deal with Jews during this tribulation period, so he can prepare them that he remarries Israel. So you see right there, dispensationalism is built in that. Now, the question is, how did that come about? Now, you won't find the first two centuries in the church, there was, at least I cannot find in my studies, that it was any controversy about the Godhead, that Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. It was only starting in basically the third century that it started to be a subject that started to be discussed by many of your fathers and doctrines of that day. And it started out with something that most people we would know as symbolism, which he believed that there was the Father, Son, Holy Ghost manifested in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you had others. You had Arian belief that the Son, Jesus, was created. He was not in the beginning. So you had other beliefs of the Godhead. Well, the problem being, and see if I can get to this pretty quickly for you, And I'll give you, a lot of people have been taught, and I was taught, that the Trinitarian doctrine was settled and firm by the Nicene Creed in 325. And that is just not true. If you take time to study it, that's not true at all. It was really almost the 5th century before this discussion and the debate over the Godhead came to a point that you were a full heretic if you did not accept the Trinitarian doctrine. And for those people that like to study this a little bit, they can go to the Church of Rome had some councils. The 325 Council, like I said, they dealt with the Arian view, that Jesus was created. He wasn't in the beginning with the Father. And if you do a little study, you will find that in the Nicene Creed, they did not deal with the Holy Ghost at all, whether he was a person or not a person. It wasn't even mentioned in the original Nicene Creed. And then you had, in 381, you had another council in Constantinople where it was a doctrine had been being preached, and I'm not going to go into all the particulars, called a polyarianism. And what that taught was God, he was one-third God, two-thirds man. So that was dealt with. And then in Ephesus in 431, they had another council, and it was called Nestorianism. And what they taught there was two natures and two persons. And then in Chalcedon in 451, there was a doctrine that was floating around called Eutychism, which was one person and one nature. So it took almost 200 years from the time of Cymbeline and this controversy between the different church fathers before Trinitarianism was basically the law of the land. Now, I will make this pretty quick because I know we don't have a lot of time. This would be my question to people who are out there who are saying, oh, Dave Myers, you are a heretic. Most people will agree that the Roman Catholic Church is the great whore of the book of Revelation that sits upon the seven hills. Most people would believe that, or accept that I know that the Roman Catholic Church was the apostate church, that Paul talked about the falling away. Now, if you agree with that and you say, oh, Trinitarianism has to be correct, then very quickly look at some of the other doctrines that was paramount during this time. I'm going to read just a few here. Around about 300 A.D., well, let's go back. In the 3rd century, they started sprinkling children for baptism and baptizing children. Around 300 A.D., they started praying for the dead. They also started making the sign of the cross. Also, around 320 A.D., they had special dress codes for the clergy and worship. And this could just go on and on. The date of Easter was set in 325. In 375 A.D., the use of images was in worship was allowed in. 379, they started praying to Mary and saints. Now, all these things we know as Bible believers are false doctrines. Now, if all that was being taught by the Roman Catholic Church as false doctrines, who is to say that their understanding of the Godhead was not also false? How can we put so much credit in an apostate church on one of the, if not the major understanding that we need of the Godhead? How do we put so much faith in them when they got everything else wrong? This was the apostate church. I have very little faith in what they came up with by the 4th century. But by dividing the Godhead, creating a three-person Godhead, three-dimension Godhead, first person, second person, third person, that was the seedbed, in my opinion, of dispensationalism. Because when you believe in one God, one Lord, one faith, the same God in the old is the same God in the new. He had one wife, which was Israel, and he cast her off. But the Bible says he promised to redeem her by the blood of the Lamb. And so today, I believe God has redeemed his people, which are you and I, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian people. I believe we are the house of Israel redeemed by the blood of Christ. That is not dispensationalism. That is oneness of God and his program here on earth. And so I hope that'll take your readers maybe somewhere to do a little study. But that was really the seedbed of starting this division. If you can divide the Godhead, then you can divide the word into any divisions you want. And that's what dispensationalism is, really.
Well, and you think about, too, and knowing that the dispensation of teaching started by three Jesuit priests. Right. Jesuit priests started the whole thing. So it all ties together with the whore church. And that's just all there is to it. But, you know, brother, what's really got concerned me, though, is the about all denominations today in our country. And by the way, denominations are heresies. I'm not making up, folks. Second Peter chapter 2 tells you denominations are heresies. That's what the heresy means in that verse in Second Peter chapter 2. But I think verse 2, the church becomes, it turns into heresy, which are denominations. On the day of Pentecost, there weren't Baptists and Methodists and all the others. There was one body of believers and one Lord and one Spirit. But anyway, so Satan and his cunning, I guess you say cunning wisdom, in a sense, he knows what he was doing, decided to divide the church into factions, brother. You know that already, and cause those factions to war among themselves in order to weaken the church. And he's done a great job of it. I mean, when the church quit realizing the great commandment, the final commission, to disciple, that means teach the nations whatsoever he commanded us, teach all the commandments of God, not just evangelize them, not just tell them how to be saved, but to actually disciple them in the laws of the kingdom of God. When we quit doing that and thinking all you have to do is get them to come to the altar and shake their hand and baptize them, they're all ready to go. When we quit discipling the church and teaching church how to live holy, it all fell into place. I mean, why should the church get involved in affairs and get involved in trying to change the world? Because we're going to be raptured out anyway. Why do we care? That was the whole idea of it. Go ahead.
It's a complacency doctrine to make us at ease that it's all right. We're going to be raptured out of here. No worries. And so, yes, it sets us on our seats that we basically, what Stowe's saying, we twiddle our thumbs and do nothing as Christians. And so, yes, it's a complacent theory to make us complacent in the work of the Lord. You know, brother, no, I was thinking about those Christians of the first and second century that was, and even on up to the third century, you know, millions gave their life for the cause of Christ and for the belief in the gospel. And I was thinking, how would they have found any hope in a dispensational gospel? They'd have found no hope in that. Their hope was in the message that the Apostle Paul preached, which was the resurrection. And they knew that Paul had made it clear that the coming of Christ was not going to happen soon. He makes this clear in Thessalonians. We may can read that later.
Absolutely.
There would have to be a falling away first. And so he made it. We only have the outskirts of what Paul said. I think he was much more explicit when he was in person because of the liberty to be able to speak without persecution than he was even in the Gospels. And so Paul had made it clear there was going to be a falling away. So they were left with one hope. And to walk into that Colosseum or wherever they may have been being killed and persecuted, their one hope was in the resurrection of the dead. That was their hope, that if I live and stand for Christ, if Christ died and rose, I shall also rise with Christ. Their hope was in the resurrection.
Amen.
And so dispensationalism, it just takes our hope away. And most people don't talk about resurrection. They talk about
rapture. The rapture. All right, hang on to the break, brother, please. David. Hang on to the break. Folks, back at the break. I know you're going to have some questions, and we're here. 717-300-1698. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the man of foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E. N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All right, folks, we're back. And by the way, tomorrow night we're going to have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on to discuss the benefits of ivermectin and one other pill that's been proven to cure cancer. Oh, yeah, it's the same one they tried to outlaw during the COVID nonsense. It's been proven to be effective in many different ways. But anyway, have it tomorrow night. Tonight we're talking to David Myers, discussing a very important issue, a very important false doctrine that is spread throughout the church in America called dispensationalism, started by the whore church, the Catholic Church. And folks, I know it makes people angry, but do I believe it's going to be an end time Antichrist? Yeah, I think the spirit of the Antichrist has been here since Christ left. It's already been here about, well, I think it'll be one day an economic power that will more or less control that. Yes, I do, in a sense it could happen as far as total control. But let me tell you what, this way it is. The Pope has always been Antichrist. That means in the place of. The Pope was proclaimed in the place of Christ 1,800 years ago. Ever since the Catholic Church has been here, they say the Pope is in the place of Christ. He's a vicar of Christ. But nonetheless, we'll move on from that. We would talk to David Myers about the issue of now of discussing the rapture theory. That Bible does not hold up, folks, if you read the Bible, as I did. And Brother David, I was one of the main things that got me in trouble with some of the churches I was involved in. When I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it destroyed the rapture theory just in one chapter. And people were not pleased when I saw that. They were not pleased about that. And then when I got to, when I was saved, I was born, I was saved, literally saved. I was saved in a Baptist church. And they thought that theory of once saved, always saved, you know, the idea you live like hell and still go to heaven because you can't be lost. That when I found that wasn't true, I had to walk out of that fellowship and try to find another one. Went from there into a Church of God, and it was big time in the dispensationalism. It was okay with me at the time, but we had some situations there, and I finally joined the Free Will Baptist, which was the closest I ever found to believe in the Bible basically the way it was written for a long time. But nonetheless, I no longer belong to denomination because I found denominations that say, we're told in 2 Peter, they're heresies. A denomination is a heresy. That's a division. That's what a heresy is, folks, cause a division. And Satan caused a division. Christ said, the house divided against itself cannot stand. So Satan had destroyed the effectiveness of the church by false doctrines, by dividing the church into denominations, and as went downhill from there. And brother, I know that the evils of I'm going to speak for the world, maybe I'm speaking definitely for America. The evils we now see in America as being normal started because of a lukewarm church and a dead pulpit. Am I telling the truth?
Amen. That's true. That's true, brother. Amen.
And that will not gain you a lot of followers on the radio or anywhere else. And if you preach that in the churches, you won't get invited back no more. That's just the way it is. So anyway, we'll start taking phone calls, folks, just about 2 or 3 minutes here. But I know you have some more thoughts you want to bring. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to just read in 1 Thessalonians for our hearers, right, in chapter 4. The apostle here speaking said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even of those which have no hope. And I said, this is our hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is not a secret rapture. That is a coming of the Lord with the trump of God, with a shout, the dead, and the graves will crack open, and the dead in Christ will rise to meet the Lord in the clouds. And we know those clouds mean those witnesses that we have in the book of Hebrews. Those that's gone on before us will meet in the clouds, and those that are alive and remain will be called up to be ever with the Lord. And, of course, you have to, you know, if you go on back a little bit over to, 2 Thessalonians, maybe chapter 1, we hear of what the Lord's going to do to these people. And chapter 1, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, restless, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what Paul preached. Paul preached resurrection and the second coming of Christ with judgment upon the wicked. He did not preach no rapture, no tribulation on earth where the righteous is taken away. None of that was preached. That's all a Catholic dogma that was invented to take the heat off the Pope and to discredit the Protestant forefathers that were standing up against the heresy of the apostate Roman Catholic Church.
Amen.
And it sure gets a whole lot simpler when we just take the Word of God for what it is. I don't have to lay down at night and worry about some gory stuff they've made a movie out of and all this foolishness that they're teaching today. My hope is the same hope our forefathers had when they were being persecuted to death. And my hope, I'm in my 60s now, my hope is in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when I'm resurrected, the Lord's coming back with his saints, and we shall all be together, and he's setting his kingdom up. And that's what our forefathers believed. That's what they taught for hundreds of years, and that's what the Bible teaches. And we need to accept the Bible today for what it says, not what's been wrote in Schofield's footnotes and what man says, but what does the Word of God say? That's got to be our final voice.
You know, brother, we're told to study to show ourselves approved, and that a workman, that, you know, the right divine word of truth, would not be ashamed of what we try to teach. We're taught that, but I got to be quite honest with you. Most people I know to go to church, if they go to church at all, very seldom crack the Bible open to study it on their own. Oh, they might read the Sunday School Scholarly or whatever, Sabbath Quarterly or whatever. They may read that, and that's all well and good, but that's as far as it goes. They don't, and most of them don't take time to study, because studying is awareness to the mind. We know that also. And studying sometimes, it can be a chore, because you got to keep your mind on what you're doing. And most folks don't do that. We just go to church, listen to the little sermon that the preacher gives us, and we'll go home and, I don't know, I guess just go about our daily routines, thinking, well, we did our duty, went to church, why should we obey anything else? That's what I see in most churches today. And it breaks my heart, because unless you get into the Word of God, you can't grow in the Word of God. Faith comes by the Word of God. You can't have any strength at all in Christ unless you're studying what He tells you to be.
Well, ignorance is not blessed, but most Christians today are satisfied with ignorance. And what I mean by that is they don't study the Word because they're afraid they may find out that the Word will teach something different than they taught, might teach them something different than what they've been preaching. And once it comes to your knowledge, the Bible says, him that knoweth to do right and doeth not is sin. Uh-huh. And they don't want to have to deal with that. It's much easier just to accept the status quo of what you've been taught, question it not, go to church on Sunday, put your money in the plate, keep your mouth shut, go on about your daily life. But a true child of God has a desire to dig into the treasure box. You know, when you know there's gold in the ground, a wise man's going to get his shovel. Only an ignorant man would stand there and not dig the gold up. But we have a lot of ignorant Christians today in the point that they do not want to know truth. I have people all the time that I try to share truth with, and I've even had them tell me, I don't have time to sit down an hour with you. So what they're saying is they don't have an hour for God's truth, but they got an hour for everything else. So I want to be like one of those Christians was in Berea, maybe I'm thinking, you know, that certain scriptures daily. I want to be open to knowing the truth of God's word, because without God's truth, we will be led into error. And error is a horrible thing to be to fall into.
And the people of Berea didn't necessarily believe Paul. They searched the scriptures to make sure he's telling the truth.
That's right.
So I mean, they said they were more noble. They didn't take him for what he said. They said, let's look for ourselves and make sure he's telling the truth. And Paul said, follow me as long as I follow Christ. You know, the dispensationalism that's been taught in our country today and in the churches for the last 150 years or so, and longer, maybe a little longer than that, has really undermined the foundation of the Church of God, the Church of Christ. And the Bible tells us the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But anyway, let's take a phone call before we're out of time.
Okay.
We've got our sister Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor. You know,
hello.
I can never get this rapture thing either. But the book, the Revelation of John at the end, that's the end. There's nothing about people rising up out of the graves in there.
I didn't understand what the question was.
There's nothing in here about anyone of rapture, people rising.
No, there's not.
Nothing
but the rapture. No, not at all.
And
no.
John was the one who saved to give us what the end would be. Not all of it, because we didn't get what the seven thunders are. Because we never have been able to put our heads around what it meant. But it means that the earth will be destroyed. And he's going to sort his people, the Christian people, from the non-Christian people. And not wishy-washy Christians either.
I agree. That's where they separate the wheat from the chaff. Any comments on that, David?
Well, yes. You know, there's a final day coming. You know, Revelation tells us there'll be a new earth and a new heaven. I know there's a lot of different opinions on what that means, but you know, we see in that writing a new earth, a new heaven, where dwells the temple of God, where dwells Jesus as the light of that temple. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that city that Abraham looked for, whose builder and maker is God, and that's what we see at the end of the book. Of course, the book also tells us that worlds without end. We have no idea what all is beyond that, because God's only revealed to us what He wants us to know in His book. We don't have everything about God in the Bible. God's infinite. He's sovereign. We couldn't even comprehend all the different aspects.
No, I mean,
but He revealed. I think one place He said He revealed His arm to Israel. It's like, this is the part that we need. In other words, if we'll live by what He's given us in this book, He's promised us eternal life. And that's what we need to deal with, is What have I got to do to obtain eternal life? And he said, I must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus.
That's what he said.
And so that's what we want to do, is we want to honor Christ as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And we don't want to put anybody or anything even close to his, to where he sits upon his throne. He's an omnipotent God, and he's also a jealous God. And so when this vigor of Christ called the Pope makes himself equal with God, he is an affront to God. He is an abomination to God. That system that they have created of confession to man and setting this one man up as Christ on earth, that's an abomination before God. And God will deal. The Bible says he will destroy him with the spirit of his mouth. And so God is doing that through the Word of God. That's one point of that. We have the Word to destroy that system, because the Word says that system is false, and it's not the kingdom of God. It's not what God intended it to be.
Well, we have believed a lot of the false doctrine. And I'm not saying folks have believed it, folks. I was truly born again when I actually believed dispensation. I know as a Christian I was born again, but I was teaching things that were false. Until I repented of that and started seeking the truth, I really couldn't grow anymore in Christ. Anything else you want to say, Jan?
He keeps putting Jesus and God together. They're not the same person. They're not the same being. God is the Father of Jesus. Jesus is his begotten Son. They are two separate, individuals. Jesus sits on the right hand of God. He is right. His Son, his begotten Son. There are two. If you read Paul and you read in his, it ends the same. They end the same way. Jesus and God may join you there too. Maybe in the final, on the new earth with you. God and Jesus both may dwell there.
Okay.
It's not one.
Right.
It's two.
Okay, listen, David. David, why do you want to say that?
Let me read you a scripture, ma'am, if I can. First of all, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus being the fullness of the Godhead, he could not be the fullness if he was only one-third of it. But let me read you a scripture in 1 John 5 and 7. Now, many of your translations today have done away with this. Let's read it for what it says. Let's let the Word speak for itself. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're one. They're not three. They're not distinct, three distinct persons. There's not going to be three thrones sitting in heaven. Now, you used the statement, or you made, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. That's true. If you'll do a little study, and you will find out that quote, right hand, is used over 100 times in the book of Psalms. What that means is Jesus is the authority of God. He said you cannot have the Father without the Son. You can't get to the deity of God without going through the Son. So it's not like Jesus is physically standing to the right side of a spirit. God is a spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and truth. Jesus made it very clear that Abraham sought to see my day and sought it. So Jesus claimed to be the great I am. Yet in the Old Testament, God told Moses when he was going to the into Egypt, to the children of Israel, he said, what's your name? He said, tell them I am sent you. So now how many I ams do we have? Do we have two I ams or do we have one? It's hard to understand because it said he's his Son, but he's the express image of God. And so I respectfully disagree with you that there's not two persons, there's not three persons. There's one God, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and they were manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only time that God took on humanity. God's not a person like me and you. He's a deity. He's a spirit. Yet when he came through the flesh, through the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, he took on humanity, and he personified himself, personified himself in humanity as a man. That's why Jesus was 100% God and 100% man.
Okay.
So I hope that helped you in your
answer. That's a good question, good comment, Jan, good answer. I hate to cut off, but we're getting out of time very quickly. I opened the line back up. I only have one line open. Three open now. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Now, there's no way scripturally they can separate Christ from the Father. They are one. That's biblical true. But I remember, I know where Jan getting some of my teaching from, because other denominations teach that, including Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way, teach that. Anyway, folks, phone lines open. If you want to call, please hurry. 717-300-1698. So, yeah, and the Mormons teach that. So it's not a strange doctrine. It's been taught for a long time. It's just incorrect. And Jan has a heart to serve the Lord. I think she'll search it out pretty, pretty thoroughly. And folks, we're in that time. Like I said, I want to give everybody else a chance to call. We got about 5 minutes left. Go ahead, David.
Let me just throw this in. The doctrine that she's stating is the doctrine that we mentioned. That's called Nestorianism. God and man, two natures, two persons. So that's not a new thought. That was a thought that was around 1,700 years ago. And so that's not a new doctrine. But as we said, the scripture just does not show three persons. It shows one person with a triune manifestation as the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And of course, I know you're not going to change everybody's mind on that. I was a hardcore Trinitarian for 20-some years. I thought other people was heretics, but when God revealed it in the scripture, I had to accept it. I have to preach it. I have to teach it, even though I've lost friends. I've been uninvited to churches because of this doctrine. But let me put it like this real quick, and if you get a call, I'll stop.
We have a call right now, but go ahead. We have a call. We have a call. Go ahead.
We say Jesus can save you. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can do all these things, but do not be baptized in the name of Jesus. That is the most foolish thing I've ever heard, once the truth of the word. If his name's good enough to save me, it's good enough to heal me, it's good enough for all my cares, if there's no other name in heaven whereby man can be saved, then I'm all right being baptized in the name of Jesus. All the apostles, I'll throw this in, not one baptized or quoted in the Bible as baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Everyone I'm baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ. So either the apostles were ignorant, they were disobedient, or they had a better understanding of the Godhead than most Christians today. So we'll stop there for your call.
All right, let's go to Esther in Washington State. Esther, come on in. Welcome.
Welcome to both of you. Wow. Aren't you guys happy that we're seeing the end of the world?
I'm happy to know that Christ returns a lot closer than it was 2,000 years ago.
Anyway. Well, you know, if the weather it keeps up, you know, the man-made weather, and those four angels, they're holding back the winds, and when Yahushua, the Christos, who is the only begotten Son of God, but is one with God in spirit, just like four tires in a car, they're one together, and you have an alignment, because you're not going anywhere unless there's an alignment. And the Holy Spirit's kind of the oil. But anyway, I'm rambling. And the reason I was kind of scared to call you, Pastor Butch, because this teaching of the Trinity is, the language is used to coerce and to convince people.
The whole dispensation is teaching you for that. To coerce.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The whole dispensation teaching is used to coerce people and to deceive people. That's what it's all about.
That's very true. And at the end of Revelation, it said, anyone who adds to this book or takes away from the book, the plagues will be added, and, you know, your good stuff's going to be taken away. And look at the 19th Council, the history, all the many teachings, the backs and forths and everything. And you know, how many centuries did people celebrate Christmas for Jesus, Yahushua? And now, all of a sudden, people are getting it. No, he wasn't born on Christmas at all. In fact, that was the day that he was conceived. You know, that God brought, you know, that he happened
And nine months later, he was born, yes.
Okay, so because of this, and we have that one teaching. And, you know, in the Babylonian era, there was...
It's got to hurry. We're down about the last minute. Got to hurry.
God. And what we're saying is here, keep an open mind. You have to keep an open mind to accept truth. Until you feel the Holy Spirit of the conviction, and you're not arguing it anymore, that's when the three are one with you through your belief that creates a frequency so you can become one with Yahushua and with Yahweh, his Father, through the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean I'm God. And Jesus Christ, when he came and gave his life, if he was God, think about it. That is an unfair fight. And this is a fight between an only begotten son that was sacrificed to become the lamb, to become human completely, a son, like you send a son out and when he's 18 or older. And then he had to be completely human, but he was connected with that oneness with divine
Emmanuel, God with us. He was God in the flesh, but he was Emmanuel. So I understand what you're saying, but Christ was God and is God. But and I hate, I'm not cutting y'all close to what you're saying, but we're running out of time. Anything you want to say, David, you've got 30 seconds to say it in.
Well, the mystery of the God is a great mystery, and I'll tell all people, be careful what you stand on. Make sure you found it in the Scripture by revelation through prayer and study, because one of the hardest things in the world is to have to face yourself in the mirror and realize you preached something that was wrong. And most people are not man enough or woman enough to say I was wrong and turn to the truth. So usually it's a downfall for most people. They're not able to recap. So just walk softly in the Lord. Live the best you know. Walk in the light as he is the light. And God will guide you to your understanding that he wants you to have.
And praise him every day for the grace he gives us because of our ignorance, not willful ignorance, just ignorance for being falsely taught. It's harder, David, to unlearn something than it is to learn something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a fact.
I mean, it is a fact. It's a fact. So, no, we're not throwing stones at anybody, not at all. We're just trying to show you some truths that we found to be solid in Scripture. But grow in Christ, in the love of Christ. Let's grow together. Amen. As iron sharpeneth iron. Let's do that with each other. Let's not become divided because of something we might not agree on. Let's learn together. Dave, we're down at the last few seconds. What do you want to say?
Well, we just thank the Lord for being with you tonight. Hope it's the broadcast has been a blessing to some here out there. And God slumped their heart for a need for Christ and a need for his word in their life. And we're praying for your ministry that the Lord will continue to bless you in that area.
All right, David. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll be in touch again, I'm sure. You have my number and I got yours. Keep in touch, okay?
God will. Yes, sir.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you. And, folks, we do love you. Boy, I tell you what, this has been great. I love having brothers and sisters we can discuss things with and discuss it, not fight over it, discuss it. That's how we learn together. But anyway, don't forget, tomorrow night will be Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. You don't want to miss that, folks. And Michael Snyder, Wednesday night, I think one of the greatest commentators out there on what's happening in the world today. We love you. Have a great night. Good night.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.